A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Hey, maybe I'll get a box of dong bags so we can knock boots later. What do you think?
Will Arnett in Hot Rod. Listen, he might have been crass there, but protection, it's big in life. Whether it's protection at home with a gun, protection when out and about with Kevlar, or protection with that special someone, it's important to make sure that you are going to be safe. And CJ Stroud, he's going to have to be a little safer than he's been this year. Sunday in Green Bay against the Packers. Stroud had 6 turnovers all of last year, 5 interceptions and 1 lost fumble. He already has 4 this year. Honestly, could have been more. Remember the interception that he threw on the sideline while trying to throw the ball away, where a Bears defender, his heel hit the sideline, but his toe was in? That should have been a catch, in my opinion. Catches rule in the NFL. Not great. He lost a fumble as well, almost, but ultimately, that fumble was recovered by the Texans, so technically doesn't count as a lost fumble. He's turned the football over a lot this year. Last year, he didn't turn it over much at all. And what makes this a little complicated for the Packers is that the Green Bay Packers have the most takeaways in the NFL. 17. 9 interceptions, 8 fumbles. They're opportunistic, and CJ Stroud is going to have to be careful out there if the Texans want to go on the road and get a dub. So whatever those are for CJ Stroud, whatever his mental version of dong bags are, he's got to make sure that he brings them to Green Bay. Put them in your wallet. Put them in the little pocket that you might have in your pants.
Yeah, the little hand warmer. The little hand warmer pocket thing.
Is that what they're for? I thought they were for condoms. Okay. Well, I guess they're not. They're hand warmers, I guess.
No.
Yeah. Guys, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Stay safe.
Stay safe out there. Here is Texans quarterback CJ Stroud being asked about staying safe.
I definitely know that this game I gotta be very smart with the football and just, you know, take my shots when they're up front. They play really well and their backers are really solid. Really just, you know, understand that, you know, like this team is known to keep, you know, their defense their defense kind of keeps their team in the game by getting turnovers. And they do a great job of that. You know, especially on the back end, got some really good DBs. And up front, they play really well. And their backers are really solid. So, you know, another great challenge for me to try to be better with. You know, I feel like I've been kind of like a little sloppy, turn the ball over a little bit. But sometimes the ball doesn't roll your way, you know. But you got to take those shots and you got to, you know, be aggressive to, you know, see what you can get away with and what you can't. So, I don't regret any of the decisions I made, but I definitely know that, like, you know, you're putting yourself at risk. So I definitely know that this game I got to be very smart with the football and just, you know, take my shots when they come. But, you know, if they don't come, then, you know, just being smart with the football.
Got to be safe. Got to stay protected. And I like that CJ at least has acknowledged he's been sloppy this year. He has. Based off of what we saw last year, I thought he was very careful and smart with the ball. And there's been a couple of moments this year where it hasn't been the same. Long season. I think Stroud is somebody who learns from his mistakes, and I feel pretty good about him going forward. By the way, speaking of learning from your mistakes, Stroud was asked about a philosophical question that gets discussed in every single NFL fan base. How do you handle a young quarterback? Do you throw that guy in right away, or do you let that guy sit behind the scenes and then eventually have him go out on the field and do whatever it is he's going to do in the league? So, CJ Stroud, starter from day one for the Texans. Jordan Love sat behind Aaron Rodgers for 3 years before last year getting his first opportunity. Someone asked CJ Stroud about the different, I guess, roads to becoming an NFL starter for he and for Jordan Love. This answer is something.
I think God puts you in a situation, or, you know, puts you put you through things, you know, for a specific reason. And I feel like maybe for Jordan, he wanted him to see the field and, you know, learn from Aaron and, you know, being able to just be a sponge and, you know, suck up just a lot of information. And for me, God, I thought that the best thing for me was just go out there and you know, play, you know, fail, you know, make mistakes. And, you know, I definitely, you know that my journey was a lot of those ups and downs. And, you know, I think, you know, everybody, you know, we have our own identity, our own names for a reason. So I definitely feel like it's been a blessing just to be able to, you know, learn my journey and then also look at his and, you know, look like, man, he's doing pretty well. So, you know, I think it's just a testament to whoever's watching, like, who's trying to get to our positions is like, no matter what route you're in, or like, you know, if that's early, you're playing early, you're getting early offers early, or if you're, you know, have to sit and wait a little bit, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, you'll get what you deserve.
Lot to unwrap there.
God said Jordan Love can't read a defense.
I don't think that God made these decisions. Okay, I'm not going to disrespect any person who has faith. I would just like to think that God's got bigger priorities than Jordan Love needing to be a backup for 3 years before being a starter. That's the path he needs to take. And on top of that, Stroud, same thing, like being a starter right away. That's the path he needs to take. No, that was just decided by random circumstance. I like to believe that we are in control of our actions and everything that happens. I know that is another philosophical religious debate in Christianity between certain sects. All I know is that answer was Lot. At the very least, at the end, he had a powerful message.
Yeah.
Hey, just trust the process. Everything's going to work out in the end. But it doesn't always do that.
No,
it doesn't always do that, John.
But, you know, sometimes God watches the tape and he goes, I like the tools. I'm just not quite sure.
He needs to go to Green Bay.
It's a big jump from Utah State to starting in the NFL. So maybe if he sits behind an MVP winner. This is the Mountain West, all right? Trust me. I made the Mountain West because I'm God. I also made the NFL because I'm God.
It's a lot. That was a lot.
Now, CJ Stroud,
he didn't need
day one starter.
He didn't need to force it here. He didn't need to. He just didn't.
Actually, CJ Stroud, what I'm going to do is we're going to have a fake quarterback battle in training camp with Davis Mills.
It's been predetermined by God, though.
But, yeah, you're going to start week one. But we have the illusion that everyone's competing.
God's ultimately going to decide. Yeah, sorry. That was a lot for me.
God, back in 2017, God was like, Tom Savage for week one for Deshaun. Deshaun's got it from there. But week one.
Largo Ghost comments, CJ is JC backwards. Makes you wonder. Stop.
Whoa.
Stop.
Whoa.
No, stop. Stop. Stop.
That blew my mind.
I got to eye roll so hard at that one. I mean, that is quite the answer. Anyway, it's Galan and George. No Joe, just Paul. 713-780-3776 to call in. To text in, you can tweet us at Galan Says, at Sean A. Mapes, at ESPN 975, or on Twitch at ESPN 975, on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We didn't hear all of what Papa Dusty Baker had to say on his podcast appearance earlier this week with Joel Sherman and John Heyman. And I think this is some really easy ammunition for the Dusty Baker haters out there to continue dancing on his grave. He's not dead. He's just his career as a manager over. Galan and George, stay put.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Galant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Galant and Joe George.
Texans and Packers on Sunday. A lot of good NFL games this weekend. Also, Texas and Georgia on Saturday. I am more excited for Texans and Packers than I am for Texas and Georgia. I think the Texas game is going to be a blowout, but you want to weigh in on those things, you can. Dusty Baker did a podcast interview with Joel Sherman and John Heyman. Really creative name for this podcast. It's called The Show. I'm sure there aren't a bunch of other ones called that that differentiate from them and make it a little difficult to find their podcast on Apple, but they got Dusty Baker on, old Papa himself. They had him for about 30 minutes or so. And Dusty said a lot of interesting things. We played this earlier in the show. Very clear that he is a big fan of Jim Crane. But also, he wishes he had had freedom to pick his own coaching staff. But that's not what we're going to talk about here. Check the podcast if you want to hear about those earlier conversations. Dusty was asked about how the Astros have kind of changed their stripes over the years. And if you were listening to yesterday's show with Jeremy Booth from KHOU, he was talking about it as well, how the Astros went away from being analytical and went in a different direction. Here's Dusty talking about that.
Well, that's what Jim Crane wanted. You know, he wanted a more of a mixture versus just one way. And, you know, people talk about analytics. I mean, analytics have been around for years. It's just that it didn't have a name for it. You know, like, from the time I started managing and studying, you know, like I was studying first batter efficiency or, you know, walks per inning from the bullpen or, you know, who hits with runners in scoring position, all this stuff, you know, has been around for a long, long time. It's just that we've gotten very, very complicated with it in the terminology. And if you don't know the terminology, then supposedly you don't know what's going on. But hey, if we were just speaking layman terms, we'd all understand, you know what it is.
I agree with Dusty here, but here's the problem. Some of the nerds are going to find this and they're going to kill him. They're going to go after him more than they already did before. Because he looks at those advanced statistics that I look at as well, and he rolls his eyes at them. BABIP, Klongdorp, all the other things. Klongdorp's not real, but you get what I'm saying. It's the stat that I say all the time to make fun of the many advanced statistics in baseball. There is a point where maybe you're looking at too much information to determine who hits where, who hits when, who pitches where, when, etc. And I felt like Dusty got a lot of unfair crap for that last year. I know that there are others who will push back on that, but I mean, were things better with Joe Espada running the show this year? A guy who, based off of this interview that Baker did with these two, Sherman and Heyman, doesn't really seem like Dusty Baker likes Espada much, reading between the lines.
Yeah, he didn't say anything specifically about Espada, but again, in the first clip that we played, that was both of our reaction to
it. He said he wished that he had been able to pick his own staff. He only got to pick one of the coaches on the Astros coaching staff. Would have been hard to do that, just given that, I mean, they had won the World Series. Or excuse me, not won the World Series. They got into Game 7 of the World Series. Yeah. God, sorry for saying that.
And not Santa has the date. He said that Dusty was hired on January 29th of 2020.
Correct.
So it would have been a tough overhaul.
Before pandemic hire. Interesting.
Yeah.
Makes you think. Was that part of God's plan? I don't know.
We can't keep doing this.
Sorry.
We can't keep.
CJ Stroud, that answer. I like CJ Stroud a lot. That's the most insufferable answer he's given this year. Anyway, bringing it back to Dusty Baker and his interview that he did on this podcast, he continued talking about the way that baseball has changed.
The game is still played by human beings, and the game and the players have feelings, you know, when they're, you know, when they're taking in and out, when they're pinch hit for, or when they're told that they can't hit this guy or that guy. I mean, as a former player, you know, that would have really bothered me for you to take me out and make me feel like I can't necessarily hit this guy, because I'd stay up all night trying to figure out. That's the joy of competition, when you stay up all night trying to figure out how to hit this guy or how to solve this guy. So, you know, still a wonderful game. Like last night during the game, it was a good game, but it was full of mistakes. You know, it was full of base running mistakes, full of walks, full of just you know, mistakes, and some of it by veteran players that know better, you know. And so it's still a great game. It's just sometimes it's not as easy to watch as it used to be.
That comment does sound a little bit like old man yelling at a cloud, a little bit, especially when combined with the one that you just heard before. Because he's talking about how, hey, they're human beings and their emotions might get affected because you're making decisions based off of statistical numbers and you should be just trying to win and beat these things and adjust to these things. But I know that the nerds out there are going to circle like vultures around the carcass of this podcast, and they're probably going to dump on Dusty Baker some more. So there you go.
I didn't think anything he said was like too old man yells at Cloud.
I agree.
I think especially the earlier clip where it's like, no, we both know, like when you're from his perspective and from the analytics perspective, if you're talking about baseball, you're saying the same thing. It's just you're, like you said, speaking almost a different language with, but you both, you understand baseball and you're understanding the same thing. It's just the, you know, loss in translation kind of effect. I do think that is part of it. It's just like a little bit it's on the analytics people just to like, honestly, a lot of it would just go a long way of just like explaining the stat, like just in
it would help and why it's useful, why it's not.
Yeah. And just, and the limitations of it.
Instead of being a, part of my French, C word about it to people that don't necessarily agree with you online. Like, that's my big problem with these people that are pushing this statistic movement in baseball. Some of these stats I'm sure are very useful, but you are such jerks with the way that you think this is the only way to look at things. And it's not as black and white as you're making it out to be.
That's exactly. It's easy. It's not hard to look at these stats, learn what they mean, what they're measuring, and just go, okay, so the higher the better, the lower the better. Yeah. But it's not as simple, like implementing that into running a baseball team, it's actually not that simple.
Of I
just
agree.
Going, you know, oh, okay, I get what war is now. Let's just play all the high war guys. It's like, no, there's a little bit more that goes into this. There's,
correct.
Like Dusty said, it's still a game played by people and having that. And that's why I think most of the manager's job is that stuff, and I thought Dusty Baker was good at that stuff.
I totally agree. I mean, they won a lot with him running the show with a staff that was not his, that seemingly was at odds with him, just based off of this conversation that he had. So you can check out that full interview. I thought it was interesting. I always liked Dusty Baker, and I felt like he got a bad rap while he was here, much worse rap than he deserved. The team stopped hitting in last year's postseason. Nothing he did in last year's postseason had anything to do with the fact that they went home early and the Rangers were able to win the World Series. And I would say the same thing about Joe Espada this year. I do think that the manager role in baseball, it is an overstated one. But I look at where this team is and just the people that cover it, and specifically the nerdy, psychotic, stat-oriented people who were so vicious with Dusty Baker, I know they are going to find this, and they are going to go after him for it. And I don't think it's deserved. I feel like he's just explaining his perspective on it. And baseball is not a black and white, these stats mean X, Y, and Z kind of game. It's not. No sport is. Baseball, for whatever reason, though, seems to think that it is that way, at least the people that seem to have taken over the game. And I wouldn't mind them being elbowed out. Obviously, I would have preferred the Astros not run off James Click and totally move away from baseball, people making baseball decisions. And I get it. Craig Biggio, he's a baseball star, and Jeff Bagwell, baseball star, and Reggie Jackson, baseball star, all that stuff. But at the same time, you do want people who are also on top of the sport, doing the scouting things and all that. Still, there is an element of the nerds taking over the kitchen, and I don't think it's necessarily helping. And I feel like the way that they carry themselves makes it so that a lot of people are just going to be resistant by default to what's being pushed, in the same way that we sometimes see certain people who are preachy with their politics get pushed back against, even if they are making good points, because they're doing it in a dickish way. That's sort of the way that things work in this world of ours. Anyway, I am Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes behind the glass. No Joe, just Paul today on Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to jump in, you can do it on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can do it on Twitch at ESPN 975. You can tweet at us at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes behind the glass. I saw a really funny thing online before today's show. And it makes me smile to know that we are celebrating this day in the same way that we celebrated the victory over Germany and the victory over Japan in World War II. Was it VE Day and VJ Day? Well, now we have Jack Easterby Gone Day. That's today. Happy two-year anniversary. Jack Easterby has been gone from the Texans organization officially for 2 years. They removed him from his office as, what, vice president? Jeez. On October 17th of 2024.
J-E Day.
Yeah, J-E Day. Or B-B-J-E Day.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye-bye Jack Easterby Day. How did that happen?
Well, you even just saying his title right there, I just like just got transported back to 2021 Texans. Like, oh my God.
It's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to this organization. And they had a quarterback that got accused of sexual misconduct with 26 different women. And here's the thing. I say that that is not as embarrassing because NFL players do effed up stuff all the time. The Texans have one right now in Joe Mixon, you know? Yeah. It was way back in the day at Oklahoma, but, I mean, it still happened. But this guy who had no resume, how the hell did he get here?
It's also such a reflect. Like, the Deshaun stuff, the Mixon stuff is, I mean, especially Deshaun. Actually, Mixon's a little different. The Deshaun stuff is more of a reflection on Deshaun Watson and less a reflection on the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans having Jack Easterby as high up in their organization as they did, that is a direct reflection of the Houston Texans, and they should be embarrassed that ever happened.
By the way, did you know he's on LinkedIn, Jack Easterby? I'm looking at his account on LinkedIn. The most insufferable app that there is,
yeah.
Jack Easterby is on LinkedIn.
Of course.
I'm going to read his bio here. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh yes. I want to live in this moment, all right, of not knowing what it says, but knowing your reaction.
A results-driven executive with 15 plus years of experience developing people, building systems, and overseeing staff, business, football operations for successful organizations.
Okay.
This is what every effing consultant in the world has as the lead to their job profile. How can you say a lot of vague things that you did, he said in quotation marks, without actually getting specific? Here's some more. Oh my God. Has developed strategies and vision while managing logistics, facilities management, procurement, and event service operations.
I think I could literally put that for what I do.
We all could say that. Anyone who's ever had an effing job can say that, Sean.
I literally could put that exact word for word, that exact same thing.
Most beneficial to a team environment. When formulating solutions to capture time and cost savings, administering budgets, and aiming to develop synergy between internal and external teams in order to exceed performance benchmarks within highly competitive environments. What the fuck is any of that? What is any of that? What does that mean?
When he says teams inside and outside, does he mean like the Houston Texans and then other teams, like the DeAndre Hopkins?
I don't know.
Counts as
I don't know. This is all gibberish. And by the way, no faith discussed there. CJ Stroud talking about how God determined whether or not he was going to start right away or sit behind the scenes for a little bit. CJ Stroud brought more there than this guy who was a chaplain. A chaplain who becomes a results-driven executive? Huh?
Also, the results are terrible. What are we talking about?
Oh, no, because this bio's not done.
Oh.
Good God. Successfully organized programming and strategy for multiple NCAA postseason participants and champions in multiple teams and individual sports. NFL Super Bowl champions. Oh, for bleep's sake. And here it comes. And multiple NFL division champions.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's crazy that he put that. He is a Super Bowl champion.
He is a Super Bowl champion. He got a couple of rings, that's for sure.
No, but like, do you think they made a ring for Jack Easterby?
I don't know, man.
They probably did.
This is crazy. Jovan Belcher doesn't kill himself. Do we ever hear about Jack Easterby? Serious question. I'm not trying to get a rise here. I mean,
I don't know.
That's when the Chiefs brought him in. It was after that, I feel like. I'm not sure if he was there in the moment. And his resume, it's very fishy. We'll look at it in a moment. Again, we're looking at Jack Easterby's LinkedIn profile.
Wasn't that
right now.
Something where he lied on his resume?
Yes. That was a big scandal that popped up.
That just popped in my head.
Jack Easterby strategically developed multiple sporting databases from scratch. What are you talking about? You're not Jeff Luhnow. With internal and external operations in mind while designing tools that aggregate data for use within the club. Again, all of this is just gibberish. Just straight
aggregate
gibberish
data
by this guy. Oh, you want to read some of his LinkedIn posts?
Oh my good. Now this, I want to get some popcorn ready for this.
Okay. So he's been gone for 2 years. Oh my God, it's all, oh. I need a commercial. I needed a commercial break to
on
take a drink. Happy Jack Easterby Day. It's Gallant and George, no joke, just Paul, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Happy Jack Easterby Day. And I guess it's actually BBJE Day. Bye-bye Jack Easterby Day. 2 years since the Texans pushed him out the door. I unintentionally discovered his LinkedIn profile while trying to look up his resume. And for anyone who's never been on LinkedIn, LinkedIn is a social media app for professionals, but essentially this app is just a bunch of people sitting around in a circle, patting themselves on the back with clapping seals, enabling them. There's no criticism. There's no second guessing. It is just, I'm so glad I don't have a corporate job. That's all I can really say. When I see a LinkedIn profile, I mean, it's Marilyn Manson removing his ribcage-esque. It's just so awful. Anyway, I went through his profile. Luckily, he hasn't posted much over the last 6 months. In fact, he hasn't posted at all. But all of his posts, much like his profile, which we just read in the last segment, are just the proper amount of nothing actually being said that would make you think he'd be a great consultant for somebody. And guess what? He was a consultant for the Houston Texans that somehow became a vice president. Jack Easterby, 6 months ago, wrote this. A leader's greatest act is to sacrifice for his team, setting a standard of selflessness that inspires unity and drives success. It's in these, all caps, moments of giving that the true strength of leadership is revealed. Now, that quote, vague, generic, possibly lifted from somebody else.
I was going to say that 100% is a quote from someone else.
I need to read a response to it.
Oh, no.
This is from a guy by the name of Clifton Sellers, who his profile reads, Girl Dad, that's the first thing, and founder at Go Legacy Builder. Thank you for sharing this powerful reflection on leadership. It's a reminder of the profound impact leaders can have on those they serve. Wipe your mouth, sir. It is brutal reading this guy's profile. Here's another post by Jack Easterby. Our habits matter more than we think. Our eating habits, our playing habits, our thinking habits, our scrolling habits, our sleeping habits, our speaking habits.
Oh my God, how many habits?
How many more habits can you think of here?
Bathroom habits. Our shower habits.
No hygiene habits there.
Our clothing habits.
Fashion habits, right. Today's habits shape tomorrow's success. Oh my God. By the way, Clifton Sellers comments on it again. It's empowering to realize that by cultivating positive habits today, we're actively creating a brighter tomorrow. What is LinkedIn? Who actually uses this site? I thought Twitter sucked. At least people on Twitter are yelling at each other, and you kind of enjoy the chaos. LinkedIn, everyone is just kissing each other's ass.
It's just like ChatGPT inspirational quotes, and then ChatGPT comments of, wow, this is such a great quote. It's like all just like, just this meaningless, like,
yeah.
Just the most meaningless thing. What he said is, having good habits is good. That is what that said. And then you have Cliff over there being like, yep, right. Leadership is important.
Does he want to work for Jack Easterby?
Or does he want to hire him? Does he want to get hired by him? Does he do other stuff? I don't know.
It's brutal. Go on your LinkedIn and just see what you see. But Jack Easterby's LinkedIn.
I don't want to. I'm going to make, because the worst part is that it's people I know. Like this, it's more palatable because it's Jack Easterby, someone I already have disdain for. I don't want to lose respect for my friends who maybe have, because they have corporate jobs and they have to participate in that. I don't even want to see. I want to be able to respect them next time I look them in the eye.
Should I go on LinkedIn and just become like an influencer? Troll LinkedIn account, yeah. And just comment like, what are you talking about?
Oh,
be the one person that does this. Because again, no one does it. I'm reading these comments. It's all, everyone's like, yep, yep. This guy single-handedly ran the Texans into the effing ground. People thought it was Bill O'Brien. Here's another Jack Easterby post.
Oh, great.
It's about sports, okay?
Oh.
Not about leadership.
I'm interested.
The new 1% in sports are able to manage through crisis, balanced in their perspective, strategic thinkers, character-driven, faith integrated, ethically sound, team oriented, visionaries, consistent, authentic.
That sounds like CJ Stroud.
It does. I thought it might be one of those acronyms that can be turned into SWARM. Something.
Yeah.
It says ABSCFEDVKA. So it doesn't work.
Doesn't work on a t-shirt.
Guess who commented? Clifton
Our
Sellers.
Guy Cliff.
Clifton Sellers commented again.
I almost feel bad for saying his full name every time.
I don't. I hope this gets him some business for Go Legacy Builder. This list highlights the importance of integrity, teamwork, and authenticity in achieving greatness on the field.
Again.
What is this app? And who is this person that thinks Jack Easterby is a model?
It is just someone saying nothing, saying just the most like bland, like leadership is good stuff.
Yeah.
And then someone else going, correct. Oh. Leadership is very important. Leadership is very good. Oh my God.
This is so bad.
Does he have
dude.
Like alerts for when Jack Easterby posts?
Dude.
So he can do the first comment.
Well, he hasn't posted in 6 months, but this might be the first thing I ever set alerts for on LinkedIn.
Like he's Woj.
Yeah. Now, this is better than Woj. Unbelievable.
Oh, my God. That.
I mean, God.
Again, you already said it. I would like to second it. Thank God I don't have to. LinkedIn is not important in our business.
Can you imagine? Can you just imagine this? I can't believe that after everything that blew up here, and maybe people just aren't as aware of Jack Easterby and how he accrued all this power, like he's Littlefinger or Grima Wormtongue in Lord of the Rings. I don't know how he amassed all this power. And maybe, honestly, for all of these psychos on LinkedIn who don't have a personality except for like putting out just basic-ass quotes talking about grit, grind, and effort, he is the model. Right?
Yeah.
Con your way to the top. Yeah. That's what LinkedIn's all about. But the amount of this, essentially a circle you know what, of all these people enabling each other. Wow.
Yeah.
I need to take a shower. This was gross. It's Gallant and George. No Joe, just Paul. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
I feel dirty still. I'm never going to be able to get over what I just did. I'm going to take another shower when I get home after reading Jack Easterby's LinkedIn. But happy Jack Easterby is gone day. Happy BBJE day. Bye-bye, Jack Easterby. Toro McJohnson did point out on Twitter, hey, he did bring Nick Caserio in. And that is true. He did get that done. But...
congrats.
Yeah.
Didn't Bill O'Brien try to do that and tampered with him? Or is that Jack Easterby that did that? I like roughly remember. This is like 2019 or 20 where they got in trouble after they fired Brian Gain. Brian Gain,
yeah. Because alignment. A line.
I'm surprised you didn't get alignment in the Jack Easterby LinkedIn.
You're right.
It is important.
There's
right, Clifton?
Dude, it's so crazy how much they've been through. Because you had...
in like 5 years. Like not even going back to like since you were here or, you know, obviously the 20-something years they've been a team. Like just in the last 5 years.
From 2017 on.
Yeah.
During the entirety of the Astros run, the messiness... from the power struggle between Bill O'Brien and Rick Smith, which no one has done digging on, and they should, because, wow, when Rick Smith stepped away from the organization to be with his sick wife, it's a comma, not a period, O'Brien takes over. I think they wanted to get Caserio then. I could be wrong. They get Brian Gain instead. He and Brian Gain don't see eye to eye. What a shocker with Bill O'Brien. Jack Easterby comes in. And I remember working at the flagship, bringing that up as a highlight. I want to say that somebody who I think was just probably met him and liked him, because the guy clearly is charming in some way, shape, or form, that he's able to... work his way up to the top.
I don't know about charming.
He has to be.
He knows how to play the game.
Exactly. But some people are cynical and they see through this. And others are the kind of people who are going to sit through a Ponzi scheme meeting until the very end before realizing, oh, this is a Ponzi scheme. This is a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
That he got all the way up there is jarring. I'm glad it's in the past. Texans and Packers on Sunday, everybody, huh? CJ Stroud, is he one of the best quarterbacks in the game? We got there in just 2 years after getting rid of Jack Easterby.
Thank you to God for putting Jack Easterby in as vice president of the Texans and then out.
You know who I'm going to thank God for? I'm going to thank God for whoever got in the way of them hiring Josh McCown.
That too.
Yeah.
Wow. That's the thing. There's so many actual things that happened that were like, I can't believe this is real and this is what's happening.
This is a real organization. Like, we laugh at the Jets now. We couldn't that long ago.
No. And there's so many things that like almost happened. Like so many almost car wrecks that they dodged to get here.
Imagine if they lost. I did a hit in Milwaukee talking about the Texans and Packers this morning. Mm-hmm. And someone asked me, do you think Lovie Smith? And I was like, hey, I was the only person that was happy they won the last game of the year. And it is crazy how this all did work out.
That could have been, I mean, that one wouldn't have been, I think Lovie Smith was hired instead of Josh McCown, but it's like very possible that's like Bryce Young, Josh McCown.
It does seem, for what it's worth, that Josh McCown in Carolina wanted them to get CJ Stroud too. So they might have still ended up with CJ Stroud.
I agree. The people that hire Josh McCown as head coach, I don't trust them to listen to him and to make the right choice. Oof.
Anyway.
We don't have to worry about that, though. We have D'Amico Ryans.
Reading Jack Easterby's LinkedIn for the past 20 minutes, not garbage time. This is real garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
We have a follow-up story to something we touched on yesterday in Garbage Time. Remember Luana Alonso, Paraguayan swimmer, got kicked out of the Olympic Village for being inappropriate, announced that she is going to launch an OnlyFans?
Yes.
Well, saw this at TMZ Sports. A sex doll company has sent a collaboration offer to Luana Alonso, saying they want her feet. Real Doll sent her a letter detailing how she can rake in a ton of dough with her toes. Nice TMZ. That's good.
That's why they get paid the big bucks.
While also giving the foot lovers out there something they can enjoy. This is a real website. At Real Doll, we pride ourselves on offering our clients unique, customized, and lifelike creations that help them connect with the fans in a truly personal way.
Am I back on LinkedIn?
God.
That's very LinkedIn speak.
It's in a letter. It's a corporate letter.
We make AIDS. We make toys.
With your growing success, we believe there is an exciting opportunity for us to collaborate. We would like to offer you the chance to mold your feet into a lifelike, high-quality material, which we would then make available for sale to your fans. Guess how much they sell for?
$100?
$3,500.
What?
Yes. And she would get 20% of the sales. She is definitely taking this on. Unbelievable. And she could even share a link to buy the product on her OnlyFans page. So people are buying prosthetic feet for their fetish.
That's really something, Paul.
$35 a month for Luana Alonso on OnlyFans.
$35 a month?
That's a lot.
That is so much.
That's a lot of money.
That's what? Like,
you know what?
$5 a day.
She's a strong, powerful, independent woman. Go get your money. Or this is America. This is America, not Paraguay. Come to the United States. We welcome hot people in. That's the new Paul Gallant policy. Not build a wall. Not for the hot people. Just like at the bar.
We need a bouncer, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
A nightclub bouncer outside outside of...
you're not hot enough. You ugly. Get out of here.
We're full. And then they let someone else in?
Yeah. Dress code.
And no sneakers.
This is a funny post, I think. But Pittsburgh Steelers player Deshaun Elliott... She posted something. It's a Photoshop of Mike Tomlin looking like Osama bin Laden. And the caption reads, Osama bin Tomlin. I don't know why he did this.
I don't know. Is that pro his coach?
I don't think so.
Okay, didn't know. I don't know.
FYI. Elliott was 4 years old at the time of the tax, and the Steelers, guess who they play on Sunday? The New York Jets.
Oof.
Could have picked a better week.
Oof.
Could have picked a better week.
That's not great for Longhorn legend Deshaun Elliott.
Not good. Oh, he's a horn? I didn't know that.
Charlie Strong era Longhorn.
I'm going to have to put my horns down to that post, okay? Not too soon. Staying in New York, the New York Rangers have unveiled a regular season champions banner. Can't do that.
They're so lucky they missed out on Soft Boys.
They are. This just came out today. Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that. They have two of those, by the way. Two regular season champions banners. Come on, guys. If you go undefeated in the regular season, even that's a stretch. And the Patriots did that back in 2007. At least they went undefeated, though, in the regular season, and that had never happened, you know? This is for a 16-game schedule. This is oof. Continuing to go through garbage time, you'll never believe it, but guess who's expected to be out indefinitely to begin the NBA season?
Who?
Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, what?
A big Shams now over at ESPN, his first big break. Good for him.
Remember when Kawhi Leonard was supposed to be on the Olympic team?
I do.
Remember when they sent him home and they're like, well, you know, it's not because of health stuff. It's just, you know, we don't have a spot for. We can't guarantee that he'd play enough to make it worth his time. It's like, yeah, sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
One last one. We had a fight last night, but it wasn't at a Dodgers game. Nope. A Miami Heat preseason game featured brawls that Tyler Herro could notice from this court floor.
That was such a funny clip of him getting interviewed.
Very funny.
He's doing the post-game interview. He's answering a question, kind of looking off in the distance. And then he, like, in a very Paul Gallant move, kind of trails off. And he's like, sorry, there's a fight going on right now. I can't keep answering this question.
I love it. I love it.
It's like Paul in a remote.
Hey.
It is. It's like Paul in a remote.
I wasn't that bad on last Friday.
No. It helped that, you know.
There were cats there, though, and I was distracted
actually,
by the cats.
Yeah, actually, you weren't that bad with the cats.
But there were a lot of cats there, and I could have been distracted, and I wasn't that bad.
Not that bad.
We're growing, okay? And thanks to Jack Easterby's LinkedIn and all the motivational quotes on that, I'm going to be a better person tomorrow.
That's leadership. And leadership is good, I learned from Jack Easterby.
Guys, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your Thursday on this, the greatest day of your life. For our texters, Twitchers, YouTubers, and tweeters, I am merely Paul Gallant. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.